us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your strength. We ask that as the word is preached and proclaimed, that you would be in it and remind us that this is not a numbers game that we are playing, but seeking to be transformed in your will. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as some of you may know, I'm a guy who has dreams of getting rid of most of what I own. I have these fantasies of open spaces, open prairies in my house, where I never trip on anything, nothing is ever out of place, and where it's just this beautiful, clean, simple. Ray Jean knows what I'm talking about, because I'm always telling her, "What's this about? Can we get rid of this? I'm on this simplifying kick, and Ann will tell you that I'm on such a simplifying kick that oftentimes I will simplify things out of the manse that she still needs. She goes, "Gray, did you simplify that?" I go, "Oh, babe, I might have." And so it may be no surprise to you all that shows that when we actually have access to cable, like when we go to Ann's parents' house, I like to watch HGTV's Tiny Homes, Big Living. And honestly, it's kind of a crazy show, right? These people who spend this nice chunk of money, they build these beautiful, tricked out 130 square feet little sheds that they call tiny homes. And you know that after a year of living in them, they're like, "Say, forget this. I need a house with permanent plumbing and a washing machine," you know? Everyone on this on the show has very noble reasons for wanting this tiny home, right? You often hear, "I want to live with less so that I can spend my money on experiences." You're like, "Yeah, that's great." Or they'll say, "I want to be flexible and nimble in my life so I don't miss out." It's just, they're crazy. It's crazy. Well, I think most of these people have no clue, or why would you ever want to live with another person in 130 square feet? You may love, you. That might be your part, you know, the person you have meant to be with, and you will want to divorce each other after a year in 130 square feet. That's right. It's just, that's what, you can't do that. So while I think most of the folks have no clue about the difficulties and challenges that they're in for in living in a tiny home, I do think they're on to something. And what I think they're on to is about the necessity of living to be flexible and nimble in life. That there's something important about learning to be flexible and nimble. We're living in an age when technology is growing and developing at much faster intervals than ever before. These shifts, these paradigm shifts, are happening at alarming rates, changing completely how corporations, governments go about accomplishing their works. It is enough to keep our heads spinning for years. All you have to do is take out your smartphone and open the apps application and see what's on there. And you're just like, "I have no clue what any of these do." And yet they're the most popular in the world. It's just so much to keep up with. And if you're not able to recognize these shifts and pivot accordingly, it can be devastating. You all might remember a super huge company called Blockbuster Video. How many of y'all went to a Blockbuster Video in your life? Oh yeah, I was always there getting movies. It was the greatest. I'd go in there, get movies. In the year 2000, Blockbuster had the opportunity to purchase, at that point, a fledgling company that was hemorrhaging money that had just started up. There's a little company called Netflix. And the CEO said, "You know, thanks for the offer. You're a small little niche thing. I'm pretty sure you're not going to catch on." wasn't maybe 2 to 3 years later that Netflix blew up. It became not only the most popular way to get your DVDs, later on it becomes the way to stream movies right to your home. You don't even have to leave your couch to watch movies. Blockbuster, you had to go into the store and deal with the other guy, and maybe the movie's not in. Oh man, I didn't get here early enough. Blockbuster now is over, just insane, $30 billion company. And where's Blockbuster? Do you hear the crickets? They're gone. They're all gone. Bankrupt. Every store disappeared. And what happened? They failed to pivot. They failed to take that chance to say, you know what? I don't know that this is the way to do it, but we might need to do something. And I think what happened to Blockbuster was they were the largest video chain in the world. And they said, we have the numbers. There's no small little company that's going to mess with us. We're huge. We're strength. We have future security. What Blockbuster learned was that big numbers are no guarantee of future security. That in Blockbuster's case, their big numbers may have actually caused them to miss the shift that was about to occur in the video industry. They were not nimble. They were not flexible enough to change. So today in our reading, Gideon, who believed in the power of numbers, he was a man that thought numbers are strength. And in fact, he gathered together 22,000 Israelites to defeat the Midianites who had conquered Israel. And in Gideon, who had believed in the numbers game, but God thought otherwise. God tells Gideon, there are too many troops here. Israel is going to believe that they did all the work when they defeat the Midianites. We need to send some of these folks home. And so he does. God asks Gideon to shrink the troops down to 10,000 men. And then later on, he goes again and shrinks it down to 300 men. From 22,000 to 300 to defeat a nation of people that scripture tells us were as thick as locusts and had camels that were without number, countless as the sand of the seashore, telling us that Midian, the country, the nation of Midian, was strong. You weren't going to overtake them with a group of 300 people. And Gideon, who we knew was an anxious, fearful guy, probably was thinking, this is a death sentence. But God wanted to make a clear statement. This is not about big numbers of troops or about human power. It is about my power, my strength, my will that can be accomplished with 300. It can be accomplished with 12. It can be accomplished with one. And if I so desire, I can make something out of nothing. Like when God created the universe, right? Nothing. I don't even have to have you. I can just do this. God uses Gideon, who, by the way, whose name means in Hebrew, hacker. All right, and I'm not talking about the computer hacker. Hacker as in a person who's inexperienced, right? Hacker as in like, oh, that person's a hack, right? Like the idea that they're inexperienced or unable to do a particular activity. God used the hacker to accomplish God's will. God used Peter, right? Who denied Jesus 3 times. God used Paul, who was stoning Christians before he was converted to Christianity. God uses us, despite or maybe because of our flaws, our imperfections, our problems. God has over and over again proved that the numbers make little difference when it comes to bringing about God's kingdom here on earth. And so I think it's not hard for us as Presbyterians here at Fayette County to get caught up in this numbers game, right? You know, man, you take a look at some of the big churches, you look over at the Crossroads, you look over at the Grace Community, and you think, oh, man, if we could just have half of that money, think of what we could do. If we could just have half the people showing up that show up there on Sundays for Sunday services, oh boy, think of the power, the influence. We could do all sorts of amazing stuff. And I get it. Like, there's no problem in wanting to evangelize. We should. I've preached a whole sermon series on evangelism. We need to get people through the door sharing the good news, sharing what we are as Presbyterians, what we do in this community through our mission, through our service, through our proclamation of the gospel. But when we get caught up in this numbers game, what we're actually saying to God is, we don't trust you. We don't trust that you have provided us exactly who we need and what we need right now to accomplish what you have asked for this church. It's the old thing, like, love the one you're with, right? If you're always looking for the people that are outside, oh, why are they not coming through the doors? Grab them. But you don't realize that God has given us incredible gifts right here and now. And those are the gifts we need to share. Those are the gifts that we need to get excited about. And tell people about, and invite people to see. That's what Gideon had an issue with, not trusting that God has given him exactly what he needed to overcome the Midianites. And God has given this church exactly what it needs to fulfill its mission, to be a faithful, whole, exciting church here in Fayette County. Now, this is why we must be willing to be nimble and flexible as a church. That at any time, God can change the script, can ask us to take a faithful step into something we're not sure we're ready for. First Presbyterian Church should seek to be responsive to God's will, responsive to the needs of our neighbors, both of which may change at a moment's notice. Big money, big membership roles are wonderful things, but to have, but they are not evidence of faithfulness or salvation. Instead of seeking bigness, seek flexibility. Seek nimbleness as a church so that you may be able to continue to reflect God's love and grace in new ways in this community. Now, this may mean letting go of things that we love, picking up things we're unfamiliar with, but I will tell you as a personal witness that when I showed up through these doors, Presbyterians have a reputation to be a little tight. Just never know. I kind of like to do things a little different. I like to bring in props. I like to encourage y'all to do things that may be a little different. And none of you ever came up to me and said, Gray, what are you doing? You are a crazy person. This is not what Presbyterians do. I don't know where you were trained, but clearly not in a faithful Presbyterian church. I felt a church that was flexible, that was nimble, that was able to say, hey, this is exciting. Let's do this. Let's get more excited about this. I saw a church that was excited to take on new things. I felt that from the energy that I have seen since I got here and the energy that I have seen in the Mission Study Council that we'll be presenting in August, in October to you all. That there is an excitement, there is a joy, there is an ability to say, how can we be responsive to God here and now? And so I think about this because I have been doing a lot of research about the history. Regine will tell you, Mary and I have been digging deep. 203 years in the life of this church, 1813, and we are still not here 203 years later because we did the exact same things we did in 1813. Right? Could you imagine? What does that look like? We were responsive. We were flexible. We were nimble over times that were hard. And it allowed this church to survive and continue to serve this community. Continue to be a faithful witness in this community. Because when you look at that 203 years, those were not all gravy years, people. There were some years that weren't so gravy. Okay? And yet you stepped up. In fact, we talked about some of those not so gravy years today in Sunday school, just in recent history. You all have stepped up. So let us continue to be flexible and nimble, responsive to God in all the ways God has called us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.